And welcome back to politics. Although I call it politics, my name is Presh, and the title of this episode is Trump Works at McDonald's. So I just want to do some cleanup from last week, and I was speaking about Dr. Jill Stein's campaign, and I couldn't remember the name of her running mate. So I Googled, and his name is Dr. Butch Weir. His name is actually Rudolph, but he goes by Butch. He has a PhD in history, but no one refers to him as Doctor. They just call him Butch Weir. So I don't know why this is. Maybe people are just being rude or don't know that he's a doctor. But Dr. Butch Weir. Side note, he's also incredibly ripped. I saw a video of him lifting weights, and this guy is huge, right? His muscles are like the same size as my head. It's so big, dude. Anyway, we'll get into more election talk later in the episode, but I just want to reiterate that if I were an American, I would be voting for the Green Party. Especially if I was in like a solidly blue state, I would vote green. Right. So, let's get into the news for the week. And generally, the title of the episode is also the main news story that I cover. But that is not the case this week. Number one, I don't know what the title would be for the story. And two, I assume that Trump's name in the title is better for SEO, especially this close to the election. So, yeah. But for our top news story, our new Minister of Home Affairs, Leon Schreiber, who is a member of the DA, sent out a tweet this week, and I thought we should examine it, right? Quote, I just want to say that it's quite a long tweet, so I've broken it down into three sections. So I'm just going to quote it, give my thoughts, quote it, give my thoughts, quote it, give my thoughts, right? So, quote, I am honored to announce that, in my capacity as Minister of Home Affairs representing the Republic of South Africa, I have signed an historic agreement granting visa-free access to our country for Ukrainian holders of diplomatic, official, and service passports, and vice versa. So, in short, Ukrainians can enter South Africa without a visa, and South Africans can enter Ukraine without a visa, as long as that person has a valid passport. Right, that's what was said. Now, does this benefit South Africans? I would argue no. The reason being, Ukraine is currently war-torn and under attack from Russia. South Africans are not queuing up to go to Ukraine, so that doesn't benefit us in any material way. But also, does this benefit Ukrainians? And I don't know. I doubt that they would want to come to South Africa. I'm sure that they would prefer to stay in another European country or go to America. Remember, we are a third world country. There's a lot of like poor areas and like lack of service delivery from a corrupt government. And yes, I'm not sure that the average Ukrainian like grew up thinking, I want to move to South Africa, but you know, whatever, I just don't know, right? But never mind the benefits to each group of people. Is this good policy? I would argue, also no. Ideally, we want skilled people coming into the country. This policy just allows anyone to come in, and we already have lots of people living in poverty. So this just means more mouths to feed, right? Also, this seems like an international kind of thing, so I don't know why the Minister of Home Affairs is so leading this charge to get Ukrainians into South Africa. It's a little bit strange, but. The next portion of his tweet, quote, we continue to see Ukraine as a valued ally, as a valued friend who supported us from the beginning. From the days of our struggle against apartheid right through to now. And, end quote. Now, this is a blatant lie. Ukraine has never been our ally, and it especially wasn't an ally during apartheid. Ironically, Russia, or rather the USSR if we're being technical, were our main allies against apartheid, and currently they are our economic allies with the BRICS agreement. So again, this is ahistorical, and of course what I would expect from a DA member. Just blatant lies. Right. The final portion of the tweet says, quote, "I look forward to President Ramaphosa adding his signature to the agreement in the coming week so that we can conclude this important step forward for relations between our peace-loving nations," end quote. And that's the key thing here. They still need President Ramaphosa's signature to push through this piece of shit legislation. And I hope that he has the sense to throw this in the bin. Because of all the reasons I mentioned, and yeah, there's still time to stop it, so why not stop it? Right? Our next story and the title of this episode. So this week, Donald Trump did a stunt where he worked at a McDonald's restaurant for 15 minutes serving chips to customers. In the article I read, it said fries, but I'm just going to call it chips because that's what it's supposed to be called. Not fucking... like, anything can be fried. But look, I'm not going to debate whether to call it chips or fries right now, but I'm calling it chips, right? And I shouldn't say customers, because this was all staged with the people being served. They weren't regular customer or regular McDonald's customers. They were pre-approved people. That's a tongue twister. It's like, okay, sorry, I just want to take a quick side note. The like vocal exercise I use before I start recording is unique New York, unique New York. So I'm thinking about pre-approved people as a as another unique New York, pre-approved people, unique New York, pre-approved people. But yeah, anyway, now a lot of people are making fun of this because it's so transparently a charade. But I think that this was very effective. Trump's superpower is demeaning and humiliating his opponents, and Kamala has claimed multiple times that she worked at a McDonald's when she was in university. This stunt is a big joke at her expense, and his supporters view it as such. And in that lens, I think it was very effective. Because, you know, they're all laughing at her. And in every news story I've read, it says that Trump claims falsely that Kamala never worked at a McDonald's. But she hasn't given any proof to the contrary, or to say, hey, here's my name badge from when I worked there, here's my whatever from when I worked there. She hasn't proved it herself. So Trump calling her a fake and saying that she didn't do it herself is, I think, just as valid if she doesn't give any evidence to that, right? Anyway, piggybacking on the story, I just want to give my final thoughts about the American election, because by the time I record this next week, I record the episode next week, the election would have already happened. And about 4 or 5 months ago, when they announced Tim Walz as Kamala's running mate, and she was polling extremely highly, I think she was something like 20 points ahead of him in the polls. Yeah, it was like 60-40. I thought that it would be a slam dunk in Kamala's favor. But since then, the polls have narrowed and narrowed, and I can't help but think it has to do with her being pro-Israel. Like I've mentioned before, America has a winner-takes-all system. Meaning, if you win 51% of the vote, you win the entire state. This is, you know, as opposed to a parliamentary system, where if you get 51% of the votes, you're allocated 51% of the seats in parliament. You know, and the other 49 will be allocated to whoever else won that many votes, right? Anyway, due to this, you have so-called blue states, which are states that always go for the Democrat, and you have red states which always go for the Republican. And then you have a handful of so-called swing states, states that can go either way, and they are up for grabs. And one of those states is Michigan. And I bring up Michigan because I brought it up in previous episodes that Hillary Clinton losing Michigan was one of the big reasons why she lost the presidency. And Imam Bilal al-Zuhain of the Islamic Center of Detroit has endorsed Trump, saying that Trump promises peace. Trump is obviously lying, but change is preferable to what is currently happening with Kamala funding a genocide. So yeah, I still think that Kamala will win, but it's much closer than expected because of Israel. And that's just my opinion. I have no idea why the polls are as they are. It's just, if I were looking at this situation, I would be anti-Kamala because of her Israel stance. Right. Then, in lighter news, we have some news out of the football world, and I thought we could do a quick football corner here with two news stories. The thing about football is that there's not very many news stories. It's just like, it's only the transfer season where things get, newsy. Otherwise, it's just, let's watch the game, let's get the result, okay, that's it, let's move on. Otherwise, there's not much news. But this week, as we all know, I'm a Liverpool fan, and this first story has broken my heart. Erik ten Hag has been sacked by Manchester United. Now, personally, I don't think they should have sacked him. He's won two trophies. Two trophies. Most coaches don't even compete for one, and he's won two. The only thing I can say is thanks for the memories, Erik. We'll always have the 7-0. Since then, they have announced the signing of Ruben Amorim, who is a highly rated coach from Sporting Lisbon in Portugal. As per usual, I wish him the worst and hope he fails spectacularly. Right. The other football story this week is that Rodri from Manchester City has won the Ballon d'Or. If you don't know what the Ballon d'Or it is it's the best player in the world, the award for the best player of that season. Right? And I personally believe that he's a deserving winner. The Real Madrid PR channels have been throwing a tantrum since this has been announced, and their entitlement is so funny, right? Some people have said that a defensive midfielder winning the award is a disgrace, and that only attackers should win the award, but I disagree. I think everyone should have an opportunity to win. If you are the best, if you are a better defensive midfielder than another attacker is at attacking, you deserve to win the award, and I believe that that's what happened. Madrid had a few people that could have won with Jude Bellingham, Vinicius and Mbappe all I think in the top 10, but yeah, I think Rodri deserved it. He's one of the best players in the world, and truth be told, he's not even the best player on his team, right? I think De Bruyne is far ahead of him, but De Bruyne was injured for quite a while last season, so by that, because of that, I think Rodri is a deserving winner. So yeah. Thank you for listening. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, give a like, etc. Importantly, needs to be a 5-star review. If you don't give a 5-star review, you're an Erik ten Hag, right? You can find all our links at paysip.com. That's PAICIP.com. Please tell a friend, tell that friend to tell a friend, tell a family member, and yeah, bye.